prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
And welcome. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It is 25 October 2023, University of Financial Survival. And as always on Wednesdays, I sit in for the first 20 minutes. Melody joined me the last couple of segments. But always, in a little bit, we're going to bring up Wendy Wilson with the Pocket Theory Herbs. Her topic today, I think you'll find very interesting. I know I've already, I picked out of two or three of them, unless the one I liked. Hope you like it. But before we go to her, let us get into the metals in the markets, okay? A couple metals done okay, a couple not so hot. Gold did pretty good, up 10.20 to 19.80.70, less than about 90 bucks away from new record. Silver went down 0.03 to 22.87. Platinum was up 20 to 11.06. Palladium was down 4 to 11.06 also. And I may read that wrong. Keep me from wrong on that. Anyway, to the markets, the Dow was down 80, 33.061. The NASDAQ was down 311, 12.828. S&P was down 59 to 41.88. FTSE was down 0.73% to 16.870. DAX was up 0.08% to 14.892. Nikkei was up 0.67% to 31.269. Hang Seng was up 0.55% to 17.085. Oil was up $1.66 to 85.40. USDX was also up 0.24 to 106.51. A 10-year yield, again, was also up 0.102 to 4.942%. So, metals had a mixed bag, but gold is gaining ground again, folks. We'll see what happens tomorrow. It's open to anything. And this world being as unsteady as it really is, who knows what could happen tomorrow. And let's go to our guest, as always on Wednesday, Melody. Wendy Wilson, with the Pock Theory. And, folks, I hope you all enjoy listening to her as much as I do, because she's a walking encyclopedia of information, and you can tell she's excited about it because she brings it in with a good attitude and shares the information and enjoys it. And Wendy, welcome to the program.
Hey, Pastor Butch. Always great to be with you and all the listeners. So the topic you picked today is when science isn't so scientific. So I read a lot of medical journals, as you know, and over the last 23 years, it has me thinking that scientific research has this, I don't know, huge Pinocchio nose all of a sudden. More researchers and scientists are kind of coming out challenging the claims of a lot of the research and any therapies that result from the research. And the most recent challenges are surrounding the COVID-19 research and the treatments. So you've heard the word jab. It's often describing a vaccine. And recently, some statistic mortality researchers challenged the science regarding the life-saving benefits of the COVID-19 serum. So these two researchers, Dennis Rancourt, he's a PhD, and Joseph Hickey, also a PhD, They found the claims made on the COVID vaccine were essentially a Tinkerbell wish. They examined the Lancet report on the serum, supposedly based on a peer review study that confirmed the research claims and was instrumental in getting the COVID-19 serum approved for human use. So the peer review studies used to be the gold standard in scientific research, which the scientific community rated as the highest standard where the claims would be based on solid scientific proof. So there was a time that there was no questioning a peer review study. But sadly today, the gold standard has cankered, and Rancart and Hickey have selected the Lancet study to review, which was sponsored by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and was instrumental in getting the serum approved for use. So the mortality analysis that they looked at showed that the deaths from the COVID virus during the pandemic would have been the same without the serum. So the COVID-19 serum didn't save any lives as it was advertised. Here is a quote
from...
And
by the way, just to back that up, people who got the jab who said they wouldn't get sick from it are getting sick from it, and some dying from it.
Yeah. Well, here's the authors, Rancourt and Hickey. They said, quote, "The authors of the Lancet study made fantastic claims of millions of lives saved that are highly improbable and have no connection to actual mortality. The Lancet paper makes wild assumptions in promotions of the vaccine." Wild assumptions. That's not scientific knowledge. That's not proof. That's not, you know, based on any evidence. It's just, you know, a wish. It's a Tinkerbell wish. So is science looking silly? Yeah, I think it is, pretty much. Science has long given us this impression that its evidence-based knowledge can't be challenged. No one's disputing some of the useful discoveries that has emerged from the field of science. However, lately, it's kind of hard not to notice that something has really gone off the rails here within science, and it is damaging its own reputation. Here's three quotes. One is from the author of Nature, Philip Ball. He says, "Science isn't everything, and it's not even after the truth," end of quote. Also, American physicist Richard Feynman, he said this, "The big picture, science looks for understanding, not truth." I thought that was interesting. Mm-hmm. And Ken Ham, a writer, says, "Don't get sucked into the science says mentality," end of quote. So according to Ken Ham, the writer, he says science is the golden calf of modern times. So the supposed pillars of our society, the politics, the governments, the courts, the schools, all appear to worship science as truth. And truth demands solid evidence and confirmation. So truth can't stand on a guess or a hypothesis. So when science claims a finding as truth, but later discover it was proven to be false and they committed fraud, this is where criminal charges should be brought to bear. After all, financial gain and possible personal injury could result from what I call corruptible and reckless science. Here's a quote from the American thinker. This is the publisher Thomas Lefson. He says, "The problem is massive, and even when important fraudulent research papers are withdrawn, some continue to be cited and relied upon for further work. Science becomes a joke under such circumstances, with the possibility of real-world catastrophe if the phony results become basis for real-world actions. Correcting the situation will not be easy, but a first step would be to institute criminal penalties for deceiving research and review fraud," end of quote. Now, he's correct. We don't really have any penalties for these guys that, you know, deceive people. This is from the Bible, 1 Timothy chapter 6. "Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust," or truth, "avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called." Yeah, that's where we're at.
Yes, we are.
So what they're doing is this: they're manipulating the peer review process. Yes, we have some bad scientists. They've manipulated this research peer review process for financial gain. Peer review means that other scientists, your scientific peers, can duplicate your study research and get the same results. That's what that means. It can be duplicated and proven as solid. So this process was, among other things, to help weed out any unsuccessful studies not worthy of publication. This process is now broken, totally corrupted, and readers of your scientific journals, that would be your physicians, they don't know if the publicated study, the published study, can carry any genuine, truthful results. And unfortunately, thousands of medical physicians who read research papers that are published in these journals have zero quality assurance and no safeguards or report accuracy to fall on. So Retractive Watch reported in October 2022 that the publisher Hindall, a peer-reviewed scientific journal publisher, retracted 511 papers in 16 journals after an investigation proved fraud. Another publisher, Sage, also issued retractions, according to Retraction Watch, and they said this: Sage publishers in 2014 retracted 60 articles from the Journal of Vibration and Control after an investigation revealed a peer review citation ring involving a professor in Taiwan. We have rings of these scientists, Pastor Butch, doing this.
Wow.
So today, what does manipulation of a peer review process get you? Well, a little finger wagging, telling the scientists, you stop that misconduct. Cheating, fraud, bribes, intimidation, and using aliases are usually part of that bad behavior. So these are serious violations that can have the potential to hurt millions of people. Yet this behavior is treated, well, with the equivalent of a timeout. You know, this is stupid. And this behavior is so prevalent within scientific research that we have rings of scientists doing this. It's almost like gangs have infiltrated the halls of science and extorting governments and universities of grant money to produce drug and medical instrument research that's fake. Think about that. So
That is amazing.
Yeah, the scientists get money, they get published, and career accolades from their peers, and fellow scientists who suspect fraud rarely do anything about it. So it's kind of a good old boy network. Working in the medical system like I did witness physicians protecting one another. So if a doctor is aware of another doctor's error, he would not confirm it, nor would he report it. Here is a quote from Thomas Lifton, also the editor and publisher of American Thinker. He said, scientists mutually scratch each other's backs to build up a record of publication by favorably reviewing each other's work. The reward system in academia requires publication of articles in journals. So such a system is inherently vulnerable to cooperation among like-minded scholars who push each other's work into print and cite each other. So he goes on to say a cultural revolution of sorts is needed in academia with a pervasive ethic of honesty to be enforced by social pressure as well as by law. End of quote. Yeah, that's where we're at. This is where your medical treatments are coming from. And this is where you see recalls on things like hip replacement devices and knee replacement devices. Yeah.
Well, the integrity's been lost. When you lose integrity, you don't have anything left.
That's it. You know, and this is why people are kind of shaky now when it comes to going to the doctor. COVID-19 kind of shed a light on certain things, and it's just amplifying what we've known for over a decade, that science has some real ethical problems within its, you know, ranks. And it's kind of hard to believe, really. A lot of people, you know, it's shockingly disappointing, you know, that science is going down a path that few want to do anything about it. So there are some very beneficial areas of scientific medicine, like trauma care. However, fraudulent research can create a negative outcome on medical treatment. And the COVID-19 serum is a perfect example of science falsely so-called.
That's right.
So it's hard to wrap the brain around a profession that may be kind of sliding into the category that's equal to a used car salesman. Think about it. a car salesman has really not inspected the car to know what shape it's in and pretty much relies on the shop mechanic or the Carfax vehicle history sheet. The problem arises when the mechanic, let's say the scientist, and the vehicle history report, your scientific study, deceive those looking to buy a car or a scientific product like a drug or a device. So this is where we're at. It's, you know, used car salesman. You know, because the doctor is the used car salesman. They have no idea what they're selling you, really.
They really don't. And after this last huge worldwide push for the so-called COVID vaccine,
right,
the credibility has been lost on that. I can't imagine why anybody would want to believe science again.
Well, and, you know, I was talking to a person recently, and they were recommended to go get some studies. And I said, well, you can go do that. I mean, if you want to find out what they think is the problem, it doesn't mean you have to, you know, take their treatment plan if you feel uncomfortable. But they were just kind of scared to death to even go. And this person was just going to go to an ENT for a study. And I said, well, a study has two purposes. It's going to eliminate what you don't have. That's what studies do. It's a process of elimination, and they're confirming what you don't have as a health problem. The other thing a study does is it'll confirm something, and that helps the doctor sell you a treatment. So studies help them sell treatments.
Mm.
Okay? Yeah. And here's the sad part. They don't usually tell you all that you need to know about certain studies and medications and treatments, as you know. You have to do that homework yourself because it's almost like talking to the government. You got to know what questions to ask. And one of my caveat questions I would ask if I was you is if you're talking to the doctor and he's recommending something, I would say, well, is there anything else that I need to know about this treatment? Whoa, that's a legal question if you think about it. You put him on the hot seat there.
Yeah, you
he's
do.
Got to divulge. He's got to divulge the pros and cons now. Not just the pros. He's got to tell you what's the drawback. Because every drug and every procedure has a risk built into it. And people, you know, half the truth is still a whole lie. Benjamin Franklin was right. So people need to be discerning, do their homework. And, you know, God can't lie. And he encourages us to use medicinal herbs for health and well-being. And I've seen miracles, Pastor Butch, happen using herbs, all kinds of health issues. So if anybody would like a catalog from us at Apothecary Herbs, we'll send them a free catalog. And there's tools in there for immune support, metabolic support, and getting rid of toxins. So cleanse and nourish the system. You'd be amazed how the body can heal itself. See? So it's a very old practice, but it's a very solid one. And who taught us this? God did.
That's true. Very true.
Yep. So give us a call at Apothecary Herbs if you want a catalog. The number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, and the web address is thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. We're in the middle of our harvest sale, which runs through the 31st of October, and it's 15% off. So details online or give us a call. And, you know, get empowered. That's what I say, get empowered.
You got less than a week to do it, folks. This month's almost over. It's hard to believe that October's almost gone.
I mean, we're going to be into January.
Oh, happy New Year. Well, I'm thinking Happy New Year. But anyway,
yeah,
you're right. You're exactly right. Wendy, thank you so much. Again, we got about 30 seconds left. Anything else you want to add very quickly?
I just want to tell people that, you know, tuberculosis, you know, you may be hearing things about it being a threat, and it can be. So, but there's a natural herb called thyme that has a germicide in it that kills the tuberculosis bacterium. So you have tools even for those kinds of threats.
Okay. And then number one more time?
866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Always great to be with you, Pastor Butch.
Oh, I always enjoy it. I really do. And thanks for taking time to join us every Wednesday. I know you're busy, but we appreciate it. And folks, can give her a call, ask her questions, and pick her brain. I mean, obviously she knows what she's talking about. Pick her brain and learn what she has to say, and then follow her instructions. I think you'd be very glad you did. Wendy Wilson, thank you so much again for another Wednesday. I can't believe it's Wednesday again already. I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay. Take care now.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Folks, back at the break, a lot more talk about, you know, it'll be Wednesday before you know it. That's why I'll see you tomorrow. See, it'll be here before you know it. So I'll be back at the break with our boss, Melly Seastrom. Don't go away.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE talkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And if you ask me how I'm feeling, don't tell me you're too blind to see. Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never gonna run around and desert you, never gonna make you cry, never gonna say goodbye, never gonna tell a lie and hurt you. Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never gonna
Alrighty, folks, we are back in Melody Seastrom, the head of this broadcast, and one known to business Discount Gold and Silver, is joining us right now. And as always, it's always fun to have Melody on, or me be on with her, actually. It's always fun because we get to have some laughs, but also cover some very serious news. And Melody, welcome to your program.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here.
It's Wednesday already. It's Wednesday already.
It is.
And the weather's gorgeous, 80 degrees, sunshine, so I'm going to take it as long as it lasts.
Oh, it's absolutely gorgeous here on the eastern shore.
It is gorgeous. It is. Mm-hmm. And before we get started, I got to say this. We can all go back to bed now and go to sleep because the Republicans finally got a Speaker of the House. They elected Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House. He's from Louisiana. So we'll see what happens. And he thanks everybody for backing him on this, or ones that backed him, his family and all his cohorts. So now, Melody, we can forget about it all. It's all going to be fixed now.
Well, he is a big supporter of Donald Trump.
That's true.
And he was a key congressional figure in the failed efforts to overturn the election, which surprises me. But it's going to be interesting. And
we'll see.
But, I mean, I think they would have voted for Kermit, because they had 209 votes for Hakeem Jeffries. So, I mean, the Republicans probably just voted, so, you know, Jeffries wouldn't be the one, I guess. That's the way it works. I'm not sure, but wouldn't you say?
That's a good possibility. Yeah, I really didn't follow all that close. I'm no surprised that Johnson did got it. I really am, because he's pretty much what they would call right-wing conservative, I guess you could say. I'm surprised. We'll see if he lasts or not. At least you got somebody in there now that can call the Speaker of the House.
Yeah, they'll keep them in there until, you know, the budget gets through and, you know, all the $100+ billion gets passed, you know, for Ukraine and for Israel and so forth. But I guess for some good news, I don't know if you mentioned it, but Israel is delaying the invasion.
I did hear that. I haven't got to that yet. Yes. Right.
Yeah. So,
and it's a good thing, because things are building up really quickly in some places. And if they did go in, there's going to be, we'll just say, all heck breaking loose if they did. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. So that is a good sign. We don't know for how long. I don't know if they said anything about that, but they've delayed it for now so that the U.S. can rush. Missile defenses to the region to protect U.S. troops. So I'm sure it sounds more temporary, and of course, maybe for us to get more troops there too. So,
well, Tom will tell. Maybe, perhaps somewhere along the line, somebody got some sense talked into their head. It doesn't happen very often, but I guess it's possible. But we'll see. We will see. But we had a lot of news in the last day. Things are really heating up over there. But some other thing going on too, Mel. Do you know that? All over the world. And the UAW strike's expanding now. All kinds of things happening. Anything you want to add? We went through the metals. Metals had two ups and two downs today. Gold went up to 1890, a pretty good jump on that. Or 1980. I'll get right a minute. Yeah. So anyway, it went up a pretty good chunk. So less than 100 points, $100 away from a new record. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Anything you want to add?
It was a good day. Yeah. No, the NASDAQ was down over 300 points. That's a big drop for the NASDAQ.
Yes, it was.
And I don't think there was really any. The GDP comes out tomorrow, and I think that's pretty much what the markets are waiting for. So everybody will be holding their breath until then. There was a report today, U.S. new home sales jumped to a 19-month high. Median price falls. Well, we'll see how that really works out for everybody. And there just wasn't a whole lot of financial news. Adjustable rate mortgage demand, its highest level in nearly a year. Of course, that makes sense with the interest rates continuing to climb. And beef prices are at a record high. How much pricier will your state get, Butch? Retail
price
beef. Yeah. Retail beef prices in the U.S. are at record highs, pushing up prices of beef-based products from burgers to steaks and steak tartare. And that's to a shrinking cattle supply as well as higher input costs. And they don't expect it to ease anytime soon. Cattle herds in the U.S. have been reduced to their smallest number in decades. Can you believe that?
I can believe it, and the populations grew by how many million?
As a result of prolonged drought in key cattle ranching states like Texas and Kansas, and that was from Wells Fargo, and retail beef for a record high, and
Well, that's why tomorrow I'm going to go out and shoot a deer, actually. It's deer season, no season tomorrow, so I'm going to go shoot a deer, put it in the freezer. I raise my own beef, but I won't have anything going until next year. They're small this year, but nonetheless, I will have meat in the freezer.
In the latest livestock report in September, the USDA maintained its forecast that beef production in the second half of this year is expected to decline by 180 million pounds from August to the end of the year. As cattlemen retain cows to rebuild the herd, there is a much lower supply of cattle to provide beef. And
we can always eat bugs.
Hey, there you go. they don't eat that much.
Would you like to invest in a cricket farm?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you told about that. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go right ahead.
The last 2 years, there was a slaughter of reproductive cows because they couldn't afford to keep them over the winter due to the drought conditions. Supplies of hay, which are water-intensive crops used to feed cattle, were hit by a spate of severe drought in 2022. In December, dry hay stocks sank to their lowest level since 1954.
Gee whiz.
I mean, those are, people, think about it. Those are some pretty significant declines. And people expect it to just go away because the Federal Reserve is raising rates, trying to stave off inflation. His little number increases on interest rates aren't going to have anything to do with your beef prices. Nothing at all. So ridiculous. Anyway, Butch.
It is ridiculous. You know, and the population, I wonder what the population of the state in the United States was in 1954 compared to the day. That'd be an interesting question to look up because of the population growth and beef production's down. So that ought to tell you something right there, for sure. But you know, you mentioned housing and whatever, and the average house payment is now over $3,000 a month, Melody. That's average.
I know.
You know, average car payment is $1,000 a month. So you have to make $50,000 a year just to pay your house payment and car payment. That's a chunk of money, is it not?
Yes, it is.
And I guess the UAW strikes expanded. 5,000 auto workers shutter GM's biggest plant as automakers abandons electric vehicle strategy. That might be a good thing. But on Tuesday morning, the auto workers walked out at GM's Arlington assembly plant and joined the UAW picket line. The plant, which produces the Chevy Tahoe, Chevy Suburban, GMC Yukon, and Cadillac Escalade, is GM's most profitable in the United States. UAW timed the walkout at Arlington Assembly just hours after GM reported $3.5 billion in third-quarter earnings. Executives said that GM has lost about $800 million since the strike started more than a month ago. Another record quarter, another record year. As we'd said for months, record profits equal record contracts. UAW President Sean Fain said in a statement, it's time GM workers and the whole working class get their fair share. Today, there are 46,000 auto workers on strike against GM, Ford, and Stellantis across 22 states. So, but they're going to drop the idea of producing 400,000 electric vehicles right now, and that's perfectly fine with me. But that eventually is going to filter down to the little guy, car sellers, the people that get parts for different cars, or even auto parts stores. It's going to filter down eventually. You agree with that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It always does, doesn't it?
It does. And the little guy on the bottom is the one that usually gets hurt the most.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, and by the way, the population 1954 was 168,736.
And now it's 330 million, or a little more. Double.
And now, this only goes up to, we're 300. This only takes me to, yeah. Yeah, 340.
So the population doubled, and we cut the beef reserves that much.
Cut down.
That's going to put prices up. There's no doubt about it. Wow. That's not good news, people trying to make the budgets meet. It isn't. And are the Chinese selling U.S. dollar-denominated assets to buy gold? Sure looks that way, it says. Chinese investors sold $21.2 billion U.S. assets in August alone, primarily U.S. Treasury bonds. Meanwhile, the Chinese government has been buying gold at a steady pace. Writing at FX Empire, analyst Vladimir Zhirinov said there are two dynamics driving the Chinese to sell the U.S. assets. The first is an effort to boost the yuan. China's currency has struggled against the dollar of late due to softness in the Chinese economy and recently hit multi-year lows. Selling dollar-denominated assets for yuan boosts the local currency at the expense of the dollar. Zhirinov said selling dollar-denominated assets to provide support for yuan makes perfect sense. So now, like I said, they're selling off the assets to buy gold. And by the way, I think it's Missouri that's introduced a bill that no one that's a foreigner can buy property in the state of Missouri. They want to keep it for the people in the state or at least people in the U.S. to be able to own property in, say, Missouri. I say more power to them. more power to them. Unless they are American citizens or live in the state of Missouri, they don't build at let them own property. What do you think about that?
That's the way it should be.
I agree. I totally agree.
You know, but it's kind of late. It's kind of
like... Well, they can always take it back. I mean, if they pass a law, they can always take, hey, well, this property's no longer yours. I mean, that's... I don't know what's going
on. No, I mean, it's a little late because
that.
All these properties, all look how much land is owned by foreigners already. So it's now it's kind of like, well, what's the point?
Yeah, I agree.
Missouri, we call it Missouri. Missouri has a lot of farmland, so it would keep from selling those farmlands to foreigners, and that's a good thing. But, you know, America has already been sold out.
Not just food supply, it's cut its own throat to the, that's the last
yeah.
one. You know?
Yeah.
So it is. Yeah. So that's not mean the cattle are declining, the chickens have been mm-hmm. slaughtered by the millions. Prices, I see nowhere but the prices to go up. I agree. And U.S. retail theft is about $95 billion, and California leaves with $7.8 billion in theft. That is huge. Capital One reports that U.S. stores lost an estimated $86.6 billion in retail theft in 2022. Projections indicate that in 2025, retail theft may cost stores $115 billion. Now, of course, that's inflated dollars. I understand that. But that's still huge, folks. It's went up over 4% year over year. It's amazing how much money is going out in the stores. And the average incident for the store runs about $461.86, the average incident per time that they are caught. So, and they're only caught by 2% of the time. So this is something to think about, folks. That theft does make a difference. We end up paying for it. At 37%, external theft, shoplifting, organized retail crime represents the largest share of losses from retail theft. Over 9% of Americans shoplift. 74% of retailers report increase in external theft over 5 years. 28.5% retail theft is internal or employee theft. 56.9% of the retailers report increased internal theft over 5 years. It goes on from there, folks. It's just not looking good. And the dollar amount lost per shoplifting incident increased 71.2% year over year from 2019 to 2020. So that's huge. That's huge, huge, huge. And again, the consumer ends up paying for it. The honest guy pays for it. And I worked in coal mines a while, Melody, and I know this, that workers in the mines didn't mind taking things out of the mines, whatever they wanted. They needed tools or whatever it may be, nails even. They take them from the company because, after all, the company could afford it. They didn't think they were stealing. Isn't that the mindset of a lot of people?
If what?
Isn't that the mindset of a lot of people?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
You remember the old Johnny Cash song in 1954, whatever, the Cadillac he built one year at a time? Johnny Cash sung it. You remember that song? You probably don't remember
it. No, I don't. 1945,
46, 47, whatever.
That was
Cadillac
before
was.
My time.
That's before you. Okay. It was a funny song. You know, he talked about building a car, a Cadillac, but taking one part, the different parts year after year, and finally he had a title said it was 2 pages long or something. Cause of, but anyway, I thought it was interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I just thought it was interesting. And, you know, talking about global shortages, global insecurity could lead to a prescription drug shortage. Now, we've been saying that for how long, Melody?
Oh, forever.
I mean, it's happening. The peace and stability we enjoyed under President Trump, okay, is now a distant memory as bloodshed, turmoil, and instability are sweeping across the Middle East. Sadly, the death and destruction we are seeing on our TVs can have dozens of unforeseen impacts on Americans. Global instability, on a scale we haven't seen in decades, is not only possible but likely should the war in Israel expand to others in the Middle East. This instability will not only mean higher gas prices and increased inflation, but it could mean serious challenges to the supply chain. Supply chain issues would put pressure on the already stressed-out healthcare system. A report prepared for the U.S. Senate found that the drug shortages were up 30% in 2022, including shortages in common antibiotics and antiparasitics. Indeed, the same U.S. Senate report found that as much as 80 to 90% of certain key ingredients for common medications are made overseas, leaving American consumers at risk in the event of supply chain issues. So 89% of them have ingredients are made overseas. We can't get them here any longer. And it was up, and the shortages are already up 20% in 2022. So almost through 2023, welcoming this year. And Melody, a lot of people depend on medicines. They got to have it to live. That's not a good thing. It's not a good sign.
And you know what's interesting is anytime you read articles about the shortages of these pharmaceuticals, it's never because they're coming from China and there could be anything, you know, more than that. You know, it's always, they never really give reasons.
No, they don't.
Why there are shortages. We know why. And we also know that we're heading into a break.
There you go.
We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
We may lose and we may win, but we will never be here again. So open up, I'm climbing in. So take it easy.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE talkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Alrighty, folks, we are back again. This is Pastor Butch Douglas and Financial Survival at 800-375-4188. As you've been watching, gold has regained all the ground it's lost over the last month or so, and it's going to go higher eventually. Silver will too eventually. Get it while you can. Silver right now, in my mind, is pretty good buy. It's going to go back up. Right now, gold's outstripping it by a long way, but it's going to go back up. So whatever you can afford, folks, get it. And call Melody and ask her what she recommends on what proportions. If you're like me and not a wealthy man, you probably can't buy a lot of gold. But maybe buy a little bit of silver. You'll never go wrong on either one, will you, Melody?
Absolutely not. You know, it's interesting. Melody. I had a conversation last night when somebody asked me, and it's really hard to talk to people where they really don't want to accept why they need to buy gold. And, you know, sometimes, but I had one of those conversations last night And it is difficult for people to go against the stream and do something that your family and your friends don't have. But I think, you know, I've always, if government tells me to do something, I always do the opposite. So if everybody's doing the same thing, I do the opposite. And it's always right, because you don't get caught up in that herd mentality. And someone told me a long time ago, well, you know, if everything goes off the cliff and everybody goes off the cliff with it, well, I'll just go along with everybody else so everybody will be in the same boat. Why would you want to go and be in the same boat that sinks if you have a way out? Why would you want to go down just because everybody else is going down? I don't get that line of thinking.
That's kind of stupid, David.
Yeah, but there, you know, again, Americans, really, when was the last time we had really bad financial days? People have short memories. Heck, I'm listening to the news about what's happening in Israel, Butch, and that was just October 7th, and they're already saying, well, people have short memories. Today's the 25th.
Yes.
But it's true.
Yep. Yes, it is true.
So, anyway, what else you have for us?
Well, I just thought this interesting. Biden's 2023 flood, one migrant for every American newborn. Isn't that interesting? Pretty soon, they'll outnumber the ones who are newborn in this country. Roughly 3.5 million economic migrants crossed the southern border during the government's October to September budget year, according to federal data released October 21st. In contrast, 3.67 million Americans were born during the matching 12-month period in 2022, according to the Census Bureau. That 2022 number, now listen to this, folks, includes at least 400,000 births to illegals. So that all the ones who are born are not even American citizens. We're losing ground, my friends, fast. The inflow also creates vast economic competition for the 3 million American youths who graduated from schools in the 10 months up to October 2022, the Bureau reported. One predictable result is that the new migrants are pricing ordinary Americans out of housing. The New York Times reported August 17th on the growing number of evicted homeless Americans who are living in their autos. Miss Audit, 49, earns over $72,000 a year as a social worker for the Washington State Department of Social and Health Services. But a combination of bad luck, bad debt, and a bad credit card score priced her out of her apartment in Bellevue, another suburb of Seattle, one of the most expensive housing markets in the country. With an eviction looming, she put her furniture in storage this spring and began to parking the sedan in a U-shaped parking lot outside a church in Kirkland. The car, her biggest investment, becomes her home. The roof turned into a dining table, the trunk a closet, and a weathered stretch of blacktop provided by a Methodist church became her yard, her neighborhood, and her safe space. In other parking lots across country, car dwellers shared the hardships that landed them there. A man who scraped by delivering pizzas in Santa Barbara ended up in his Nissan Frontier when the pizza parlor cut his hours. A 35-year-old who installed home security systems ended up in his Chevy Suburban when he lost control of the drill, snapping his radial tendon, and one woman said she had to choose between helping her mother or herself. In contrast, many migrants are being fast-tracked into American housing by government-funded, business-backed, progressive groups who increasingly divorce themselves from the interests of the ordinary Americans. Very true and very sad. When you read government funded, that means taxpayer paid. Understand that. So, Melly, that's really a sad state of affairs. Americans are losing their homes literally because of migrant workers or whatever, and they're coming in at the rate as fast as we can produce them, so to speak. They're outstripping us now. That's a sad thing, isn't it?
It certainly is. And if you ask any Democrat about the we need them.
Oh, yeah.
We need them here to do the jobs that the Americans don't want to do. And you know what, Butch, I always thought, well, if that's the case, then one day the Americans that don't want to do those jobs, they'll probably wish that they could do those jobs.
I think some of them already are.
Yeah. I mean, where did we come to a point where we were too good to do certain jobs?
Well, I can honestly say my generation was not that way. We were tickled to get a job doing anything. It meant income for us.
Yeah.
By the time I was on up to pick up a bale of hay, I was working.
Yeah.
50 cents an hour. Of course, back then it was a 50-cent piece made out of silver. So it's worth what? $10?
Oh, more than that.
Okay, so I was making, what, $12 an hour then, probably? I'm guessing. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, see, again, folks, that's inflation. 50 cents of real money is worth about 12, 13 bucks. You think you're getting a big pay raise working at McDonald's $12 an hour? No, you're making 50 cents an hour compared to what it was back in the 1960s. Think about that. But anyway, Los Angeles hotels, here we go, Melody, replacing union workers with border crossers.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Hotels in the Sanctuary County of Los Angeles County, California, are reportedly replacing unionized employees currently on strike with newly arrived border crossers and illegal aliens. The report is credible enough that the district attorney's office has opened an inquiry into the claims. While hotel workers in Los Angeles on strike, the union that represents them, Unite Here Local 11, is accusing hotels of replacing the striking workers with newly arrived border crossers and illegal aliens, specifically those living on Skid Row. Most of the border crossers and illegal aliens are recruited by the hotels to take low-wage work arrived in the United States via the southern border from Venezuela and Colombia. Well, there you go, folks. They'll have to be paid less and probably work harder. What's it going to mean to a decent job for the Americans? You figure it out. How long before we say enough is enough? Melody, comments?
Nope. Your guess is as good as mine on that one.
Majority of New Yorkers worry migrant crisis will destroy New York City as some sour on Biden in the News Siena poll. Well, I tell you what, New Yorkers, and I don't mean pick on y'all, but the ones, most of the ones in this program probably didn't go this road. But you want to be a sanctuary state and sanctuary cities. You got what you asked for. I'm sorry that's hurting you now. But New Yorkers are increasingly concerned about the flood of undocumented, I mean illegal, immigrants arriving in the city and are souring of President Biden with a year to go before the 2024 election, a new poll revealed Tuesday. A large and growing majority of New Yorkers say the migrants pose a serious problem, and 58% agree with Mayor Adams' statement made last month that crisis could destroy New York City, a new Siena College poll voters found. Seldom do we see an issue where at least 79% of Democrats, Republicans, independents, men, women, upstaters, downstaters, blacks, whites, Latinos, Catholics, Jews, and Protestants all agree. The migrant influx is a serious problem, pollster David Greenberg said. Yep, it is. Wasn't too bad as long as you stayed down south, was it? Now they're coming your way, you find out what the South's putting up with. So here you go. Melody, comments on that one?
No, sir.
Really? Am I doing that good?
You're doing that good there.
Golly. Imagine that.
Imagine.
And Texas sues Biden, White House, to stop feds from cutting razor wire on border. That's right. The feds are literally cutting the razor wire to let them cross the border. Isn't that something? Texas sued the Biden administration on Tuesday, seeking to stop federal agents from cutting the state's razor wire that has geiced or snagged migrants as they have attempted to enter the U.S. from Mexico at the Rio Grande. In the lawsuit filed in federal court in Del Rio, Texas, Attorney General Ken Paxton accused the Biden administration of undermining the state's border security efforts. Texas has a sovereign right to construct border barriers and prevent the entry of illegal aliens, Ken Paxton, the Texas Attorney General said in a news release Tuesday. State authorities started rolling out miles of the concertina wire in May before the end of Title 42, a temporary emergency health authority used to turn migrants back during this pandemic. A sharp wire was deployed in areas of high traffic through the Rio Grande at the border near such locations as Brownsville and Eagle Pass, Texas. Migrant and environmental advocates quickly raised concerns over the damaging effects of the razor wire, which are also raised internally by those charged with enforcing its use. A state trooper and medic described the use of the border taxes as inhumane in July when he sent an internal complaint documenting a case of lacerated and injured migrants. Well, you know, maybe I'm just me, Melody. But so what? You know, how are you going to stop them? By saying please? I mean, don't we have Texas is right. They have a sovereign right to do this. And why even take time to sue the Fed? Just do it. Let them do what they want to do, but just do it. if you're a sovereign state, Texas, protect your borders. I hate somebody gets cut up trying to come through here legally. If I put that around my house to keep people out of my house that went in here and they got cut coming through it, is that my fault? I'm protecting my home. That's what Texas is trying to do, protect their home. Melody, anything?
No, but sometimes I wonder, with Texas, and, I like Texas and so forth, don't get me wrong, but aren't they a little day late and a dollar short? I mean, they've been cutting these wires for a long time. Now, I do know the wheels of justice move slow, but does it take that long? And,
let's compare this to your home. Somebody's trying to break into your home and you call the cops, and you should, that's fine. But they don't get there within the next few minutes, and you have a way to defend yourself. They're trying to break through your door. You're going to defend yourself. Have you violated these people's rights by defending yourself?
No.
This is only a bigger application of the same thing.
Right.
So to me, this is I'll never be anybody of importance when it comes to politics, obviously.
And you know something else, too?
If I were a governor of the state, I'd do something about it. Go ahead.
And, yesterday we talked about there was, 42 states, attorney generals that, got together and they're suing Meta for addiction on these. So why don't you have the same ones or, multiple states get together and, combine their efforts? I mean, sure, we've seen the various states, ship, the illegals here and there and so forth. But I haven't, at least I don't know of a coalition within the states that are really affected by this, come together and come up with a better solution.
Well, you would think that the four states on the southern border themselves would at least do that, wouldn't you?
You'd think.
Yeah.
Power in numbers.
I mean, and the states that have been affected across the country, like New York even, why don't they join in the mm-hmm. protests and lawsuit now? Why don't they join in? They're saying the state is being wrecked. All right, let's stop it.
Yeah.
Let's stop it.
Yep. So anyway, it's just a thought.
It's a good thought. And we're going to get into some different things here. We won't get too much in the war today because I'm anxious to see what comes with this ceasefire or this holdback, whatever. They said Russia leaving nuclear test ban treaty. U.S. detonated their radioisotope nuclear test. So as soon as the Russians left the treaty, we started conducting tests in this country. The U.S. conducted a high explosive experiment, a nuclear test in Nevada, hours after Russia revoked a ban on nuclear weapons testing. These tests used chemicals and radioisotopes to validate new predictive explosion models that can help deter atomic blasts in other countries, Bloomberg reported, citing the Department of Energy. Detect atomic blasts, not deter, detect them. Russian lawmakers announced their intention to revoke the ratification of the Comprehensive Nuclear Test Ban Treaty. The U.S. tests were conducted hours after the members of the Senate, a state Duma, Russia's lower house of parliament, voted to withdraw ratification from the treaty, which prohibits any nuclear weapons test explosion or any other nuclear explosion anywhere in the world. I think it's an excellent treaty. They withdrew. I don't blame them for that. Then we test to see what. So these are things that I think maybe should concern us a little bit. I don't want to see it going that way. We're flat off just about out of time, so let you wrap it up.
All right. Well, we are out of time, so I guess we'll be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my